Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the Silk Lord Joe Show, joined right now by Sean Spicer, host of Newsmax's Spicer & Co. He is a former White House Press Secretary and Communications Director under President Trump, and his latest book, Radical Nation, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's Dangerous Plan for America. I think we've been kind of talking about that this whole time. Sean Spicer, thank you for being here. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, happy to have you aboard. So tell us about the book here, Radical Nation. I'm guessing it's a comprehensive overview of what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have done so far and what you suspect that they plan to do in the future.
Well, that's a pretty good, you did a good job there. It's actually, I think it's the first comprehensive look at the Biden-Harris administration. Who makes it up? People surrounding him. As I like to say, there's a chapter called Biden Inc. That's the family and friends that surround him to be generous, grifts off of him. There's a look at his senior team, his cabinet, what their qualifications are, or in the case that I make, not. I think a lot of people were chosen more because of the box that they checked, and I make the case there. And then it really dives into their policies, whether it's D.C. as a state, packing the court, immigration, critical race theory. But it talks about the underlying goal of why they're doing all this, which I think is critical, because it's not just about the policy. It's in pursuit of a greater goal that they have. When Joe Biden told folks that he was going to be the most progressive president ever, he meant it, and he is fulfilling that promise. And then at the end of the book, we really get into this idea of how people who, not just on the right, but people who don't agree with the direction that these guys are going in, can really get educated, get the tools, and join the groups that will allow them to fight back and win.
That's the important part right there, because as much as you can be informed of the policies that they're doing and damaging the country with, what good is that if you don't know how to combat it?
Exactly. And that's the thing. Is that I think what happens for a lot of folks is they may try to argue sometimes the merits of whether it's immigration or D.C. becoming a state, but they don't fully appreciate the greater goal, which is that I think that this administration is fully committed to figuring out how to cement a permanent Democratic majority voting bloc going forward. And once you understand the politics behind it, so much more makes sense, because it's not guided by logic or common sense or, frankly, just a straight up liberal ideology. It's guided by the fact that if they can get these things done, they will institute for themselves a permanent majority and a voting bloc going forward that will you know, be almost impossible to fight back against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with doing something like putting D.C. as a state that gives them two senators, it'll break the deadlock and they will permanently have senators in D.C. And it doesn't seem they really care about how popular or unpopular that idea is with D.C. residents. I think it's popular right now, but as with the case with Puerto Rican statehood, once you explain that there's going to be a lot more taxes, usually those ideas kind of go down the toilet.
Well, but here's the thing that's interesting. Puerto Rico is somewhat of a jump ball, and I've gotten to talk to a lot of folks over the last few years. I mean, they don't have necessarily Republicans and Democrats. They more have pro-statehood and pro-commonwealth. But so you could get a mixed bag there. You could see instances where you did elect a Republican. But D.C. is 95% Democrat. That is a guaranteed two additional senators. And if you think about where the Senate has been, not just currently, but where it's been over the past decade and a half, you know, two additional folks pretty much guarantees you almost a majority, at least a working minority going forward.
Mm-hmm. And getting rid of the filibuster, that's definitely going to be a part of it. And then once they finally pass some version of their voter reform laws, then they'll be able to get, well, even more senators, whether by hook or by crook.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. Once you guarantee that you own that the game is rigged, then you can get whatever you want. And that's the beauty of it.
And so I guess that leads to a whole chicken and the egg thing that I've been thinking of, and maybe you address it in your book or not. Like, which is their most priority item to get to first? Is it getting more senators via D.C. statehood, or is it getting rid of the filibuster so that they can go unchallenged when doing stuff like D.C. statehood?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a continuum of things that are happening right now and things that they are going to have. Take, for example, immigration. I think that for a lot of folks on the right, they will argue that Kamala Harris, quote, isn't doing her job. I would argue she is doing her job. Biden wants to cement his legacy as the most progressive president ever. They're allowing people to flood into the southern border. It's a guaranteed future Democratic voting base. They're doing this on purpose. Anyone with a brain could figure out how to stop this pretty quickly in terms of maintaining the policies that President Trump had put into place. They're not doing it for a reason. They truly don't want to stop this.
Right, and they're certainly not letting their COVID draconian rules on that interfere with the immigrants coming over. They're not even really testing them for COVID very much. And then they're blaming Texas and Florida for outbreaks when it's really these immigrants that they're letting in carrying COVID with them.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about this. You hear, and Ron DeSantis is making this point, the governor of Florida, but if you're really concerned about COVID, then why are you letting people flood through our southern border that haven't been tested, that don't have a vaccine, that in some cases show symptoms of being let go? I mean, if that's really your concern, why aren't they being tested or given the vaccine? I know that they are now talking about that, finally, but it just shows you that the priority was getting people in.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's this COVID, the policies for that is another axis on their efforts to control that justifies their harsh, more socialist, communist type leanings by saying, oh, hey, because of COVID, we got to be authoritarian and lock you all down. And then we got to do vaccine passports and stuff like that, even though that's not really popular with the public. And so many people aren't even vaccinated to begin with.
Well, look, I think part of the problem right now is the inconsistency and the hypocrisy of the messaging. If we're going to follow the science, that's great. I'm all for following the science. But when they get questioned about the science, they refuse to follow up. So, for example, even CNN the other night, which just shows you how far this thing has gone, CNN emailed apparently the CDC asking for the science or the studies behind mask wearing for vaccinated people. And the CDC's response was file a Freedom of Information Act. And the guy from CNN was writing this all up and says, I'm not trying to be difficult here. I just want to know, you know, how we can attribute this action from the CDC. And their answer was, we're not going to tell you. I mean, if it's based on the science, then that's great. I'm all for it. Most Americans are for it. But the point is that I think that they're couching this in it's based on the science, but then they won't tell you what the science is.
Now, do you address that at all in your book, the mixed messaging from the CDC and Fauci? Like, is that part of their efforts at control, just changing the message to whatever gets them to pass some new law, some new lockdown, some new small business destroying measure? Or is that just the kind of a bunch of fools acting out?
Well, I mean, look, when I wrote Radical Nation, it looked at the first 6 months of this administration. So I went up until about June-ish of how they were dealing with COVID. So, but yeah, when we touch on the issue, because at that point we even saw some of that early-ish. But obviously, in the last couple of weeks, we've definitely seen more of the hypocrisy on this. And frankly, everything's being flanked under this idea of science, which is great. But then tell us where it is. Give us the study.
Mm-hmm. Now, another point you mentioned earlier, I just want to get that because we have about 2 or 3 minutes left in the segment, was critical race theory here. I just see in your bio that you serve on the board of visitors of the U.S. Naval Academy. So you're seeing kind of firsthand what's going on in the military with them implementing their critical race theory based stuff like that. I don't know if you would have had time to address that in the book, because I think that issue started to come out more of June this year, right after you would have been done with it. But do you at least have a glimpse of that into that?
Well, we at that point, I mean, look, we've had what we call a stand down, which I think is in a separate issue that needs to be addressed. But after the President Biden was sworn into office, he ordered all the military academies and defense boards to do what he called a stand down, which I don't know what the goal was, except for to keep people like me from actually having our voices heard. Apparently, that stand down is expected to end sometime in the next month or two. But it just shows you the lengths to which they'll go to avoid the conversation.
Wow. Yeah. And it's kind of weird that they would have the military being taught critical race theory, which it teaches them to hate the country because they're supposed to be protecting the country, not hating it. So it kind of makes you wonder, what sort of people do they want in the military? People who hate the country, but would protect it anyway, or
when the left has these conversations about, there's one thing to say that we should have more inclusive teachings in this country, that we should talk about the good, the bad, some of the people that might not have been talked about in the past. I'm for that. I get it. Let's as we talk about the birth of our country, let's make sure that we, figure out those folks that may have been overlooked to some degree in terms of the contributions that they've made. But what critical race theory isn't about being more inclusive with its teaching. That's fine. I think, like, again, a lot of people would probably agree with that. It is a fundamental and systematic look at America that says that we are fundamentally racist at our core, and that all of our major institutions, capitalism, the education system, the criminal justice system, are in at their core systemically racist and derive certain outcomes. That's just ridiculous. And that is so, you know, even when you look at how education is being taught, that they're saying anytime that there's an outcome where whites could potentially do better, that must mean that it's inherently racist.
All right, thank you. I got this nice preview of your book here. Where can we get a copy of it? You got about 30 seconds here.
Amazon.com, go to Sean Spicer, or just look for Radical Nation.
All right, Sean Spicer, thank you very much for being on the program today. And just the full title of the book here by Sean Spicer, Radical Nation, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's Dangerous Plan for America. And, of course, we will be nipping at that plan, bits and pieces on the show.